411 Live.
Well, you can learn about issues that affect us every day.
Real people, real talk.
Made to help people in our community in every way. For your girl.
Do you ever wonder when you're going through a really, really tough time, why is this happening to me? Why did God allow this to happen? You know, those storms in life. Well, there could be a reason, and we are going to discuss possible reasons today. Joining me now is Pastor Julius R. Malone of the New Testament Church of Milwaukee. And I should say welcome. This is the 411 Live, Real People, Real Talk, and I'm Beverly Taylor. This is like part two because we talked to Pastor Malone last week and we kept him here for another episode because, basically he has a lot to say and I want to get more of it. So welcome to you again. Okay,
thank you.
I want to talk to you, and I'm going to start kind of at a difficult part because I'm kind of looking at this as the storms in life. One of those storms was when Mrs. Malone got sick. Mm-hmm. She has passed on now. And the ironic thing was she had pancreatic cancer. And a few years earlier, you were diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Yes, yes.
And then she got it, and there was a different outcome.
Yes.
Knowing what you went through mm-hmm. and how you, because there were times you'd gone through treatment,
yes.
and then Sunday morning, you're up on the pulpit,
yes.
and no one would even know.
Yes.
You know, they couldn't tell the difference.
Yes.
But for her, it was a different story.
Yes.
How did you maneuver that?
Okay.
I mean, that's, I know God and, you know, that strong faith,
mm-hmm.
but that human side.
Yes.
And it's not you, it's somebody you really, really love.
Yes, yes, yes.
How
yes.
did you maneuver that?
Knowing God and knowing the scriptures, in my earlier years, there were times when I raised the question, why? You know, why did this happen to me? For example, when I was a year or two after becoming a Christian believer, I just would, on Sundays, I would fill up my car with teenagers. I'd take them to church, and I thought I did everything that I could to please God. And then I lost my job in Memphis. As a cook, and to make a long story short, my dream was coming to Milwaukee and completing my education. This is where Milwaukee is, is where I wanted to come, mm-hmm. complete my education. All right. Well, when I lost the job, I have a cousin here. She's passed away a few months ago. I did her funeral and everything, but she said, "Well, you come and." I have a friend, and maybe we can get you a job. You can get your job here. Well, anyway, I arrived on a Sunday, and I got a job the next day, Monday, okay?
Wow, okay.
And then I went on to, I just wanted one degree. I went on to get three earned degrees, okay? Now, let's stop right there. So I have that to look back on.
Mm-hmm.
So what was God doing in losing the job? I mean, when I lost the job, I worked, why did this happen to me? I'm doing everything that I can to please God, and why? Well, God was directing
yes.
me from point A to point B, and point B is where I wanted to be. Okay?
Right.
And so by losing the job, it got me my dreams. All of my dreams have been, fulfilled. And so I had that to, when I wrote my book, Going Through the Storms of Life, that's one of the illustrations there. So sometimes God is directing from point A to point B. Why did God allow Joseph to be sold into slavery by his own brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Own brothers sold him into slavery. Why did God allow that? God, if you read the whole story, it's very clear that God wanted Joseph in Egypt.
Right.
You know, God promised Abraham that his descendants were, even the bondage, God even told Abraham that was going to happen. And so that was no accident.
Yeah.
That was all a part of his plan. And so God wanted Joseph in Egypt. Again, obviously we don't have time to tell the whole story, but if you read it, you'll see that God wanted him there. And the famine, all of this, God planned all of this. This was God's way of getting the whole nation, Jacob and everybody, down in Egypt. In fact, when Jacob was on his way to Egypt, God told him in a dream, don't be afraid to go down into Egypt. I'm going to make of you a great nation there.
Right.
And so Egypt was like an incubator for the development of the nation. And Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. And so sometimes difficult things happen because God is directing. And with regard to my wife's situation, it was difficult because, number one, she was diagnosed with the same thing that I had. Number two, the same people who were praying for me 24/7 mm-hmm. prayed for her 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the oncologist, we had the same team, the same surgeon, everything was the same, mm-hmm. except for the oncologist. And so why did she pass away? And here again, what helped me is that I believe that God is sovereign at all times and over all things, that he's in control. I base that upon Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing? Psalm 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord please in the heavens and the earth, he did it. And I could go on and on and
right.
on with scriptures. And so I believe that God is sovereign. And the sovereignty of God means that God does what he wills, when he wills, how he wills, with whom he wills, and no one can stop him. I believe that God heals whom he wills, when he wills, how he wills. And sometimes that healing can be direct. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be indirect through means. In fact, in Exodus chapter 15, I believe it's verse 26, when God healed the bitter waters, he used means.
Right.
And you would not expect him in that setting, in that context, to say, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer. You wouldn't expect him to use means. You would expect him to do it directly. Mm-hmm. But he used means. And Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, and I can go on and on and on, right. where God used means. Now, God healed directly. You find that in the scripture. But more often than not, you see God healing.
So you're thinking all these scriptures. You're standing on these
yes.
scriptures to get you through.
Yes, exactly. And so I also believe that when the servant of God is in the will of God, obeying the word of God, he or she cannot die until his or her work is done. I base that upon Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why didn't the fire burn them up? They were servants of God in the will of God, obeying the word of God. Why didn't the lions eat Daniel up? He was a servant of God in the will of God, obeying the word of God. James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. Why wasn't Peter? He was scheduled to be executed. Why was he delivered? His work wasn't done. And so on, and I could go on and on and on.
Right.
And on. But the bottom line is that what helped me is that, okay, my wife's work's done.
Mm-hmm.
Mine isn't. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm still here. And that those kinds of things helped me tremendously. And sure, there was pain. And another thing I did, too, is 4 days before my wife passed away, she was in hospice care at home. And I thank God that I was able to bring her home, and she passed away at home.
Mm-hmm.
But 4 days before she passed, is I marked out 30 days to just grieve and mourn. When Aaron died, the children of Israel mourned for him 30 days. When Moses died, the children of Israel mourned for him 30 days. And so for 30 days is I just, it wasn't in public, it was mainly in private, but I you know, I cried and I did all of those things. And it was very therapeutic, very therapeutic. And now, of course, I have pictures of both of us. And this works for me now. It may not work for somebody else. But it works for me. I have pictures of us in every room in the house, even the bathrooms.
Really?
And so I see her every day. Every day in the week, I see her. And every day, I have a prayer list. She's on my, I have a prayer list, and I have categories, couples, singles, widows, widowers. And I have her on that list. And every day in the week, I thank God for 62 years, 2 months, 12 days of marriage.
That's nice.
And because of that, I've not had a sad day. After that 30 days, I've not had a sad day. I had special days. I mean, people on her birthday, on our anniversary, Christmas, people call me thinking that I'm sad. I'm not. I'm not. Every day, I make every day the same.
Yeah.
So I don't have any special. Now that works for me. I mean, it works for someone else, but it works for me. And after the 30 days of mourning, sadness, and so on, I have not had a single sad day. And from time to time, you know, she's in a crypt. And again, mine's next to her. And from time to time, when I'm in that area, I'll stop by and I'll just go there for a second or two. But I've not had a sad day in over 2 years now.
Wow.
So the Bible is true. The principles, and they work.
If we follow them.
Yes. And that is the problem. You know, there's a relationship between belief and behavior. There's a lot that we say that we believe that we don't really believe. And I know that because of our behavior.
Right.
If we believe these things, we would behave differently. If we really believe, for example, if we believe Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, we'd be careful about what we do.
What we do.
If we believe Psalm 139, 1-3, that God knows our thoughts.
Right.
We'd be careful about the things
that we think.
That we think.
We allow ourselves to think.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you, and I'm still kind of dealing with the Mrs. Malone and that part, because we've talked about it before on that release and letting go. And I know that during this time, I mean, the U.S., we just, hit 1 million people who died from COVID-19.
Yes.
So there are a lot of loved ones who are grieving or still dealing with people who are sick.
Yes.
So I think it's good to talk about that. And then I want to talk about some of those other in the storms of life. We talked about he's directing, and you know, there's disclosing and different things. We want to talk about that too. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma. I have a mentor, and she convinced me to continue my education.
No one receives a diploma alone.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, go get it. You can do it.
Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211. Get connected. Get help.
Welcome back to the 411 Live. My guest is pastor teacher Julius R. Malone. We were talking about, dealing with your wife's illness and her death. And there's something that we talked about before, and that was that letting go, because she suffered. She really suffered at the end. But you saw meaning in that too.
Yes, yes.
Tell me about that.
And, well, I believe now, beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, is that I believe that God allows sometimes people to suffer so that they would want to go home. Sometimes they may be lost, and God wants them to come to know Him before. And God is very gracious, and He's long-suffering. And His long-suffering, according to 2 Peter and Romans chapter 2, is to lead us to repentance. That is why He's kind. That is why He's gracious. That's why He's long-suffering, to give us an opportunity to repent. And I believe that God is, sometimes He's bringing the person to the place where they want to go home. And I've known a lot of people who have gotten to that place where God, please take me. They're pleading with God to do. You know, He wants to call them home, but sometimes they're resisting. They don't want to go. And your time's up. It's time to go home. And I've known people, I mean, just this year, at least three cases where the person got to the place where I want to go. I'm ready to go home, and I want to go home because things aren't going, they're not getting better. And if God isn't going to heal me, and even death is a type of healing, you know, what people need to realize is that there is life after death, and there are two destinations after death.
Right.
You can read about them in Luke chapter 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Right.
And that you're going to want to go to one of these places or the other. And then in Matthew chapter 17, we see Moses and Elijah appearing to Jesus, Peter, James, and John. And in Revelation chapter 6, we see
the... See, I'm going to pull you back, because I know you know these scriptures like this, and we're about to run out of time, but you said it prepared her, made her want to go home.
Yes. She got to the place where she was ready to go, and she wanted to.
And that took a while.
It took a while. It took a long while because she didn't want to leave us.
Yeah.
She didn't want to leave us, and it took a while. And it took me a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit, it took me a while, too, but, you know, the day came when, like I say, she couldn't swallow. A day came when she could no longer talk.
Mm-hmm.
A day came when she couldn't move. She couldn't raise her hand. She couldn't turn over. And so a day came when I was pleading with God, is that, okay, I see you're not going to heal her in this life. Please take her out of
her
misery.
Home. Yeah.
It was just unbearable watching that. It was very, very painful.
So she was ready, and you guys were ready, too.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
In your book, Going Through the Storm, we talk about, we already talked about directing.
Direction,
God
right,
directs.
Right.
Sometimes we go through storms for other reasons.
Yes.
When we talk about develop.
Yes. Yes, development. Sometimes God is developing us. And many of the storms that I have gone through, they developed me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of the things my prayer life. You know, I'm noted in a lot of circles as being a man of prayer, but that's because of some of the things that happened in my life that, you know, I had to pray. I had to pray to keep to keep functioning, to keep
pray
going.
Through it,
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it developed me. Compassion with others. You know, when you go through these things, like I can... When someone is suffering with certain things now, I can relate to them better.
Right.
I understand, you know, better. And so there's an awful lot that I understand now that one time I didn't understand because of the things that I have gone through. And so I know what it's like.
Okay.
I know what it's like to lose someone who's precious to you that you've lived with for years. There's a lot of things that I have learned over the years just by going through them myself. And so many times God is developing us. And some examples, some biblical examples, is David. David was anointed to be king, but it was years later before he was crowned king. And so the things that God allowed him to go through developed him. And many of the Psalms today that bless us, we wouldn't have them had it not been for the fact that he was going through some things. He didn't just sit down and say, hey, I'm going to write a psalm. He was going through something.
Right.
Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lift of my head. Yeah. And I know I can stay on these too long, so you stop.
Disclose. Okay, so we've got direction, we've got development. Disclose.
Sometimes God is disclosing us. I believe that what is happening in the book of Job, Job would be my primary example of disclosure. I believe that God is permitting Job to go through the things that he went through, is not only to disclose his faith, but also to disclose what true worship looks like. Mm. And worship is really, it's valuing God. I mean, there are many definitions for worship, mm-hmm. but I believe the best definition is that worship is valuing God more than anyone or anything else in all the world. And sometimes people will, you know, get into debates about, you know, what is the best translation. I did a study last year of, I just sort of looked at what I believe that's most important to God. What are the things, I just took seven things. What are the seven things that are the most important to God? And one would be Matthew chapter 22, where Jesus says there, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus says, to love God with all your heart, with all your, in other words, with all that is in you. That is the greatest of all. There's no greater commandment.
Right.
So that's important to God. All the translators get that right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. They all get it right. And every English translation that I, and I didn't look at all of them, but I looked at a number of them, 20 or 30, and they all get it right. Even what I regard as the worst translation on the market, they get that. They get
yeah.
those things right. And so the things that are most important to God, they get right. And an idol, when people, many people think of an idol, they think of a statue, or something like that. But an idol is any person, place, or thing that we value more than God. That can be anything.
Right.
Anything. Yep. Any person, any place, anything that you value more than God. That's an idol. And Job, when he lost everything that he had, he said, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why was he able to say that? He was able to say that because he valued God more than his property. He valued God more than his children. Yes, he valued them. He valued mm-hmm. these things, but he valued God more. And so when he lost these things, three daughters, seven sons, he still had what he valued most, and that is why he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Right.
All the days of my appointed time, I'll wait on my chains. And so I believe that God is disclosing Job's faith. God is saying, this is what real faith looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also saying, this is what true worship looks like.
Right.
I'll stop.
And the last one is draw. And I see draw as, you know, when those storms come in your life, what do you do? Because when you can't do anything,
yes.
who do you call on?
Yes.
I'm calling to God.
Yes, exactly, you know? Exactly. And there again, of course, the same situation that draws one can drive another.
Mm.
So a lot has to do with how we respond to mm-hmm. things. But many times God is drawing us. And my example is in Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. I preach it all the time. Amos chapter 4, verses 6 through 11, where God permits, there's a, in Amos 4, 6 through 11, some things he's permitting. I mean, he's not causing these things. He's permitting these things to happen. There's some things that he's causing to happen. But he takes responsibility for everything. He takes responsibility for everything that happens. He says, I did this. I gave you cleanness of teeth, which is famine. I withheld the rain. And so in other words, God is in control of the weather. And the Bible teaches that God controls mm-hmm. the weather. And he controls the wind. And there are five refrains where God says, okay, I cause it to rain on one city, not on another. I damage your crops. I sent diseases. Debar is the Hebrew word. I sent diseases among you, yet you have not returned to me. I slew some of your young men with the sword, which means war. I permitted war. So what is God doing? All of these things he's either doing or he's permitting, but he wants to draw his people back to him. He wants them to recognize their sins, repent of their sins, and return to him. And the good news, as you read Amos and you look at all these problems here, the good news is that the people could have stopped all of this at any point by simply recognizing their sins, repenting of their sins, and returning to God. And
right.
I believe that can happen to a nation, to this nation.
This nation,
yes.
Right now.
Yeah,
that,
exactly,
that's
right now.
Right
now.
Well, as we close this out, there may be somebody who's thinking, okay, so this Jesus stuff, this God stuff, I think maybe. Mm-hmm. I want to. What do they do?
What you do, I would say, if you've got some questions, we don't know how much time we have, but I would urge, just read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John. And when you come to the Bible, in Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist prayed, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word." And then he goes on after Psalm 118 and about six other passages, 144, 73, 169 of Psalm 119. He says, "Open my understanding. Open my understanding." And in Luke chapter 24, the Emmaus disciples, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he opened their understanding.
Right.
He opened their understanding. And so if God doesn't open our understanding, there are things we will not see. And so it doesn't matter what translation you read. I mean, you can read Greek and Hebrew. I read Greek and Hebrew. But if God doesn't open my understanding, there are things I won't see. I mean, there are things there. I'm not talking about a new revelation. Everything is there. But there are things in terms of application and so on that you will not see unless God opens your eyes. I don't care who you are. You're going to have 20 PhDs. You can be a writer of 50 comments. I don't care. If God doesn't open your eyes, there are things you will not see. The disciples, they walked with Jesus. They knew the scriptures. They read the scriptures and so on. But until Jesus opened their eyes, there were things they did not see.
Right.
And so I say to anyone, just read the Gospel of John, but pray Psalm 119, verse 18, and those remaining verses is, "Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your word. Open my understanding." Because unless God opens your understanding, again, it doesn't matter what translation you read. You don't have to read a translation. You can read the Greek and the Hebrew. But if God doesn't open your eyes, there are things you will not see.
And if they're ready?
If they're
to
ready.
Accept God.
John tells us, "These things have I written unto you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so it's just a matter of, "Lord Jesus, you know, give me the grace to repent." And there are a couple of passages, one in Acts, one in Timothy, where God granted repentance. And so, and this is, pray for God to give you the grace to repent. And pray for God to give you the grace to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died a substitutionary death. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
All right.
And, well, okay.
All right, Pastor. Well, you can hear the continuation of that by going to New Testament Church of Milwaukee at 102nd and Bradley Road in Milwaukee. You can also hear sermons on Channel 24 at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. So
9:30.
I should know that. 9:30 Sunday mornings. Pastor Malone, thank you again for joining me. I really appreciate this, and I pray that there's someone out there that really it touched their heart, you know, and, you know, they feel relief knowing that somebody is kind of going through some of the things that they're facing, and that there is a God out there.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us for another edition of the 411 Live. Remember, we are a nonprofit organization. So if you'd like to partner with us, go to our website, the411live.org. Until next time, I'm Beverly Taylor, and this is the 411 Live, real people, real talk. If you would like to check out past episodes, there are many ways. Go to your favorite podcast platform, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, like and watch us on Facebook, watch and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you have suggestions for future episodes, go to our website, the411live.org.